This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. Hadith number 114 is in the chapter that deals with tayammum. And we have 3 or 4 hadiths inshallah to conclude this chapter. And most of them are not authentic, yet we have to go through them and tell you which one is not authentic and if there are any issues connected or related to these hadith. Hadith 114, brother.
Narrated Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma regarding the explanation of the words of Allah and if you are ill or on a journey, handfuls of water on your head.
Okay, this hadith is not authentic. Now, Ibn Abbas, as you all know, is the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was one of the great scholars of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ prayed to Allah to make him one of the scholars of Islam. And he became indeed one of them. He is telling us the reason of the verse, of this verse, why was it revealed? But because it is not authentic, so we should not go through it and explain it. It's enough for us to know that not only when a person is injured or fearing death that he's allowed to perform a dry ablution, tayammum. No, even if he's not fearing death, if he has something that prevents him from using water, such as in the case of a person with burns or with injuries, and he cannot wash them, then it's okay for him to perform tayammum. The following hadith.
150.
Please.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Narrated by Ali, may Allah be pleased with him. One of the bones in my forearm was broken, so I asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning purification in this condition, and he ordered me to wipe over the bandages.
Now this hadith is regarded by scholars as batil, which is not even weak. This is completely out of the question. It's regarded as unauthentic at all. Now, Ali ibn Abi Talib is the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ and his son-in-law. And he asked him about the time that he had a broken arm and what to do. The Prophet, as in this hadith, he told him to wipe over the bandages. The hadith is batil. It's not correct. So, does that mean the verdict itself is incorrect? No, the verdict itself is correct. Scholars say that in the case of a bandage or a cast that you put on your broken arm or foot, you may wipe over it. Other scholars say, no, you have to perform tayammum. Why? They say because this area cannot be washed. So whenever there is we cannot wash a particular part of the body, then we have to go or refer to tayammum. But this hadith falls in line with other hadiths. And it's authentic. That is, when a person has a bandage or is wearing a cast and he cannot wash what's under it, he may perform a ablution, normal ablution, when it comes to the cast or to the bandages or to whatever covering the body, he may rub or wipe over it. And this suffices and it does the job. Now, scholars, when talking about the subject, said that it's resembling wiping on the hoof, wiping on the socks and shoes. And actually, there is no resemblance in the sense that there are many differences. For example, Brother Zaki, how many days can a traveler wipe over the shoes? When he's traveling?
In 3 days.
3 days and three nights. And a resident could only wipe for 1 day and 1 night. In the case of a cast, you may wipe over it for as long as it's there, a month or two. So there is a difference, right? Okay. Now, can I wipe on my shoes or socks if I wore them while not on the state of ablution, tahara? I have to perform ablution and then wear my socks or shoes on the state of purity so that I can wipe over them whenever I need to. In the case of caste, I don't have to be on a state of ablution of tahara, because it's not up to you when to break your arm or break your leg. It's an emergency. It took place. It happened. And they put the cast and fixed my arm or leg. But I can't tell them, wait, before you put the cast, I want to perform ablution, because this is a necessity. It's a different story altogether. In the hoof, socks or shoes, it has to cover the whole foot. In the case of cast, it can cover half of the arm, which means that I have to wash the uncovered part and wipe over the covered part. In shoes or socks, I cannot do this because I cannot wipe on the slippers. It has to cover the whole foot and so on. So the scholars say the hadith, though it's not authentic, but the verdict is correct because there are other hadiths that back it up. And this is what all Muslims used to do. You have a problem, you have a bandage, you have plasters, you have a cast on your arm or your foot. You have to do this instead of referring to tayammum. The following hadith, hadith number 116, Brother Mustafa.
Narrated Jabir radiallahu anhu concerning the man who had sustained a wound in his head and took a bath and died. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it would have been sufficient for him to perform tayammum, then bind a bandage over the wound and wipe over it with wet hands, and then wash the rest of his body.
Okay, this hadith is, scholars have different opinions regarding it. Some say it's unaccepted, unauthentic. Some say it's Hassan. And what appears to me, and Allah knows best, that the hadith is not authentic, because it tells us to do three things, which is tayammum, ablution, and wiping over the cast. And this cannot happen. It's either this, tayammum, or ablution and wiping. But you can't join both, as the Sunnah did not bring us any other examples similar to this. So what appears is that you either can perform ablution or you cannot. So if you cannot, then it's enough for you to perform tayammum. Let's assume that a person has his whole arm, God forbid, covered with burns, severe burns. You cannot put bandages, you cannot put a cast on it, and at the same time you cannot put any water to it. So what to do? According to this hadith, you should perform tayammum. And then you should wash the other limbs of wudu that you can. And if there are bandages on it, then you should wipe on the bandages. But this is not the case, because if there were bandages, then that would have been enough for me to wipe. No need for tayammum. Therefore, it's either tayammum or ablution. And in this case, because you cannot perform complete ablution, then tayammum would be sufficient and would be enough for a person to do this. And inshallah, this is the most authentic verdict of the scholars regarding not joining tayammum and ablution at the same time. It's either this or that. The following hadith, hadith 117.
Narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, it is the sunnah that a person should not pray more than one prayer with one tayammum. Then he should perform tayammum for the next prayer.
Okay, this hadith is regarded as daif, it's weak. Now, but is the meaning correct? Is the meaning correct? Do you think the meaning is correct? Why is that?
Because he can perform more than one prayer at the same time.
Okay, he can perform
more than one prayer at the same time, as long as he keeps.
Yes, we mentioned this a while ago, and we said that it is completely substituting for wudu. If you don't have water, then tayammum exactly takes the place of tayammum in all means. So once, the minute you perform tayammum, then you are in the state of purity that allows you to pray. As long as you did not nullify this state, you may pray one, two, or more prayers with the same previous first tayammum you have done. The hadith itself is not authentic. So we don't have to waste our time studying it. Now, we move on to a chapter that is one of the most difficult chapters of fiqh to some scholars, which is the chapter of menstruation. And why is it so difficult? Simply because it is not a man's job.
Yeah.
There are things that, okay, I can figure out things like this or that, but when it comes to menstruation, I could base my thinking on the hadiths that I have before me. But then there are things that I cannot realize. Therefore, usually, generally speaking, women are the best to advise each other in this matter. You know, we get sisters calling in and saying that I have this and I have that and I did this and I did that. And it's not embarrassing because this is religion. You have to ask about religion. But at some point, one has to refer to his wife or to his sister to ask them, what do you think? Because it's a handful of hadiths, and scholars have so many different verdicts regarding this subject. So many. It's beyond, you know, sometimes it becomes beyond recognition. It's confusing. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, may Allah have mercy on his soul, one of the greatest scholars of our recent modern time, said that it's very easy. Always go back to the basics. Don't confuse yourself. Don't put and indulge yourself in the differences of scholars. Just put the hadiths, look at them, try to understand them, and try to stem all the verdicts needed from them without going into details that, like they say, the devil is in the details. You put yourself with the details, you confuse yourself and confuse all the others with you. Put the five or six hadiths covering this issue, look into them, study in them, and then try to come with a verdict that fits all. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and we will be right back, inshallah.
Roda TV is launching a new website for you, your family and friends, everyone. A new look, top level designs and better technology. You will be able to ping Hoda TV's new website and read all our articles, surf our video archives, chat live on Hoda's forum, vote, support our programs, and give us your suggestions or criticisms. We welcome your thoughts. We strive to please all our viewers worldwide. Hoda, a light in every home.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Just before the break, we talked about the new chapter. And it's a horror chapter, you know. You should be really careful when walking this minefield. But inshallah, it's not that difficult. Once we read the hadiths, we try to get all the knowledge from the hadiths and restrict and limit ourselves and thinking to the hadith, we have inshallah no problem. The chapter of menstruation. Menstruation in Arabic means, Mustafa? Al-Hayd. And originally, Hada al-Wadi, which means that the valley is flooded with water. It's running water. So, from this, scholars say that Hayd has to come in flow. It's not a drop or two. It has to come in flow. It has to come in large amounts. This is Hayd. And this helps us a lot when some of the sisters call and say, I had a drop or two. So should I refrain from praying and fasting? The answer would be no. And this is the fatwa of Ibn Uthaymeen. May Allah have mercy on him. He says no, because al-hayd, menstruation, means to come with the flow. And if it doesn't, if it comes a drop or two, then this is not considered to, as hayd. Now, why do scholars mention the chapter that deals with menstruation after purity? Simply because it is considered to be one of the things that nullify wudu. And for you, as we said, that all that we've studied is connected to the second pillar of Islam, which is salat. So the types of water, the containers of water, and if it makes it pure or impure, and the types of water as regarding najis, tahir, the how to perform ablution, how to perform ghusl, obligatory bath, what to do in the absence of water, tayammum, and what to do when answer the call of nature, how to clean oneself, the manners of it, all of this is connected to prayer. And of course, menstruation is also connected to prayer, but it's not connected only to prayer. There are so many issues regarding menstruation. Can we try and think of a few? Just brainstorm. One.
A man cannot have intercourse with his wife when she's...
So, this is marital relationship. There's no intercourse while a woman is having her monthly period. What else?
No fasting. Fasting?
No fasting. So, they don't pray and they don't fast while having the monthly period.
Reading a holy book?
Raise your hand so that we would know exactly who to check. Rushdie.
They forbid to touch and read Holy Quran.
She is forbidden to touch and read the Holy Quran, but we've mentioned this three, four programs ago, and we said that this is an issue of dispute among scholars. Imam Sheikh Al-Albani says it's okay for her to touch it, as the evidence is not that strong. The hadith, لا يمس القرآن الطاهر, it is not that strong in implying that which طاهر did he mean, عليه الصلاة والسلام. So it's an issue of difference among scholars. Zaki? Okay, think of another one while we go to Abu Malik.
Al-Hajj or Umrah?
Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah. This is not correct. A woman on her menstruation can perform pilgrimage. As in the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, he told her that a woman in her menstruation can do everything that a pilgrim does except for tawaf. So that's the only thing that she should refrain from, tawaf. But she goes to Mina, she goes to Arafah, she goes to Muzdalifah, she spends the night there, she goes and throws the stone on the 10th day of Eid, and she slaughters if she has sheep, she cuts her, makes the halal, but she does not perform tawaf. She doesn't enter the masjid. Umrah is true, because Umrah is made of tawaf and sa'i, and they have to be done inside the mosque. With the difference among scholars regarding sa'i, is it inside or outside? But she cannot perform umrah in this sense. Anything else, or should I'll give you what I have.
Yes, Noor. So as you said that it's forbidden for her to go inside a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's true. It's forbidden for her to enter a mosque. Okay. There are a few things that I've listed here that where menstruation comes handy in the sense of Islamic law. So we've mentioned that she is forbidden to pray. She's forbidden to fast. She's forbidden to make tawaf around the Kaaba. She is, of course, there's an exception. In the case of if she is traveling, if she comes from Europe, for example, and today is her last day in Mecca, and she has to perform the pillar of Hajj, which is Tawaf al-Ifada, yet she has her monthly period. So what can she do? If she goes back home, then she did not complete the Hajj, and the Hajj is void. And if she stays, she cannot stay because she is related, and she's going with a convoy, and they have to leave the country at a certain particular time. This is a different case. Scholars say that this is an exception. She may perform tawaf while she has her menstruation and leaves. One of the issues related to a woman with menstruation is that tawaf al-wada' does not become obligatory on her. So if a woman performs everything for Hajj, and the only left thing that is left for her to make the farewell tawaf, she is exempted and she is allowed to leave without any compensation on her side. She may not stay in the mosque. She may not have intercourse with her husband. She may not be divorced. So it is forbidden for a man to divorce his wife when she has a menstruation. She has to finish her menstruation, take a bath, make ghusl, and then once she is ready, before any intercourse, he may divorce her if he wishes. And this is a deterrent. Now, Islam tells you if you want to divorce your wife, you have to wait until she gets the monthly period, she's purified, then divorce her. Now, this is not the case. You know, when I want to divorce my wife, I hope she's not watching. Whenever I want to divorce my wife, I want to divorce her because she's nagging. She's been nagging at my head. She's doing this. You should do this. I'm angry with her. She's saying, you're not a man. And that triples my anger. She said, you're not doing this. You're not doing that. Then Shaitan comes to me and I say, you are taliq. You are divorced. Divorce takes place. Islam tells you, wait. Cut. This is unacceptable. Why? She's aggravating me. She's on my temper. She says, no. This Allah does not approve of this. Okay, what do you want me to do? I just want her to shut up. Said, well, you're in the wrong place. You're a man. Allah gave you the right to divorce. You should be responsible. So what should I do? Shut up and wait until she is pure from her menstruation. She doesn't have the period. Her period is about 2 weeks from now. So you have to wait. So you wait 2 weeks. She gets her period for a whole week. She's purified from her period. She takes a bath. She's ready for you. Now divorce her. Divorce her after 3 weeks? You're crazy? Who wants to divorce her? And you wanted to do that 3 weeks ago. That was 3 weeks ago. We were not on equal terms. We wasn't okay. Now everything is fine. And this is one of the great aspects of Islam. It teaches you how to control yourself. It tells you that Shaitan comes and asks you to divorce her now. Allah tells you, do not do that. Wait. And if you wait half an hour, she comes running to you, you come running to her, you kiss and make up. That's it. But if you were to respond to your anger, you would have divorced her and then you would have had lots of divorcees worldwide. But alhamdulillah, Islam tells you no. She has to have her menstruation first, then she has to bathe and get herself pure and clean, and she's ready. Whether for you to have intercourse or whether you have to divorce her. Choice is yours. So again, also, you may not divorce a menstruation woman. The menstruation is good for us to know the iddah, the period after the divorce. Okay, divorce took place. I can remarry her again. She's still my wife until she has three menstruations. If she has three menstruations, then she is a stranger to me. She may marry again. I cannot marry her again unless I propose to her as if it's the first time for us. She becomes a total stranger. Menstruation gives us the verdict that there's no baby inside, because a pregnant woman usually does not menstruate. And there are so many things regarding menstruation. Among them is that menstruation usually, and generally speaking, it's about 6 to 7 days average woman. This is normal thing, 6 to 7 days. 99% of women have it this long. And it comes once every month. That's why they call it the monthly period. But what month are we talking about? The lunar month or the Gregorian month? We're definitely talking about the lunar month. In Islam, everything is connected to the lunar month, such as fasting of Ramadan, such as the months of pilgrimage. Even the month itself, if someone says there's another, there's an oath that I would fast a month, should we ask him to fast 31 days or 29 days or 30 days? No, the month is either 29 or 30 days. And this is the lunar month. And all the things that are connected with Islam depend entirely on lunar months. And this is one of also the beauty of Islam. If you're stranded in a desert, can you tell which month of the year you're in?
No, impossible.
You cannot. If you look at the sun, you look at the moon, is it June or July? I don't know. But, okay, if I'm in the middle of the month or in the beginning of the month or at the end of the month, I don't know. In Islam, lunar months, you're able to know the beginning of it every month by just looking at the moon. You see the crescent? The crescent disappears. It's the end of the month. The crescent is born again. It's a new month. You can know when it's 13, 14, 15th, the middle of the month, and so on. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. So inshallah, until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.